Oh, it's on now. Yeah. Starting all over. What is the thing on your... Gotta get it on tape. Okay, we're going to start with a working definition of God's wisdom. So what does wisdom mean? We got this from our Sunday school lesson that we had today. If you're missing out on those Sunday school lessons, if you look in your bulletin, there's a place where you can go and watch these videos that we're watching on Sunday morning. And in there, I thought Chip Ingram had just the best definition of God's wisdom. It said, God's wisdom, God brings about the best possible results for the most possible people in the best possible way. The wisdom of God. Now we think about that idea of wisdom, and we kind of go, you know, how do you apply that? Because if I asked you if you thought God was wise, I don't think anybody here would have a problem with saying that. I mean, if you don't believe in God, you know, that doesn't even apply there, because there is no God, and of course he's not wise. But if you believe in a God, it's kind of a go-ahead kind of thought that God is wise. The question, though, is how does that wisdom apply to us? And with this thought of, is it, well, I give myself over to the wisdom of God, or do I want to hold on to my own wisdom? Will I give myself over to this thought that God has the idea with his wisdom that he wants the best possible results for the most possible people in the best possible way? Now my wisdom's a little bit different, right? My wisdom is I want the best possible results, but I'm really caring about one person, you know, one person and the general people around me. You know, God, if we can have the best possible result for me and my family and my friends, and if you could do that in the best way, as long as that way is something I enjoy, and keep it going as long as you possibly can keep it going. You know, that's my wisdom. You know, how do I achieve that? How do I achieve my goals? Now, the question today circles back around that thought of what are you worried about? Because this is a thought I want to put in front of you today. Sometimes we get so comfortable in the idea that God is wise. We get so comfortable in the idea that we're studying the wisdom of God that we actually never notice that we're not applying the wisdom of God. We're so comfortable with the thought. We're so busy reading it and studying it and talking about it, but we never apply it. And how do you know that? How do you know if you're not applying the wisdom of God in your life? And here's the neat thing. God gave us a little alarm. Now, do y'all like alarms? Yeah, I mean, I love alarm. You know, I've got them on my watch. I've got them on my phone. I've got all these different, you know, kind of, you can, I love the telephones now. You can kind of have like old 80s songs, right? You can go get, my God's an awesome God. And you know, that'll be your alarm. I love alarms. And God did this. He said, I'm going to give you an alarm to let you know when you're depending on your wisdom and not on my wisdom. Y'all know what that alarm is? Worry. Worry is God's alarm to say, you're trusting on your wisdom and you're not trusting on mine. So how many people here today, you don't have to raise your hand, is your alarm just going off like crazy? Do you have worry in your life? Are there things that you're going, I'm just so worried about whatever's going to happen? That's God's alarm saying, maybe you need to think about actually applying my wisdom in your life. Let's talk about how that looks. If you open the little notebooklet there, why does trusting God's wisdom matter? The natural result of trusting our own wisdom is worry. Why is that true? Because life is a series of choices, right? Life is a series of choices. I have the choice of who to marry. I have the choice of where to work. We have the choice of how to raise our kids. We have a choice of what to do with our money. We have a choice of where to go to church. Choices, choices, choices. And all these choices that we have are all leading to somewhere. How we handle those choices affects our ability to achieve our goals in life. So if I want to be wealthy, right? Then what I do is, as these choices come along, I'm making all the choices that's leading me to wealth. You know, I'll say I want the job that gives me the most money. You know, I want to not do some things that some other people are doing. You know, whatever it is, I look at each choice as compared to those goals that I want. Maybe it's in how we raise our kids. You know, if I'm really interested in my kid getting in the best school and I wanting to make sure that when they go to college, they can get that college they want to, you know, I'm going to make sure that the choices I have in raising my kids line up with that. Now, if the choices, how I handle them, bring me to my goals, we get to our next line. We use our wisdom to navigate those choices. What do I need to do to obtain my goal? See, I'm going to use my wisdom. I'm going to say, how do I get there? How do I get my kids there? How do I get my family there? Now, here's where worry is. Worry is our lack of confidence that our wisdom is enough. Worry is our lack of confidence that our wisdom is enough. If you are worried about how much money you're going to have when you're retired, basically what you're saying is, I'm not sure that the wisdom that I've applied to my finances is going to get me there. I'm not sure about that. There's some uncertainty. If you're worried about what your kids' grades are, or how they're going to get through college. If you're worried about that, here's your thought, right? That worry is, I'm thinking maybe the wisdom that I had and the choices I had in raising my kids, maybe it wasn't the right choices. And maybe somewhere they're going to fall off the edge. And I start worrying about that. And I worry and I worry. I mean, what do you worry about? You see, it's all on, did I make the right choices? Did I set the right goals? It's my wisdom. Now, Jesus talked about this, and this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be kind of going, we'll start in verse 21, and we're going to walk all the way through it to the end, and then we're going to go back and look at something at the first of that chapter. So if you could open up in your Bibles to that Matthew chapter 6, or if you, it's right there in your notes if you just want to look at the notes. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So let's just stop there for a second. That's an interesting phrase, right? Where your treasure is, there's where your heart's going to be. The thing that you want the most is what you desire the most. It's what you think about. It's where your emotions are. In fact, he kind of follows it up in the next one. He says, "The eye is a lamp to the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is this darkness?" That kind of sounds confusing, but if you apply it to the verse before, he said, if you're staring at your treasure all the time, that's where your heart, that's what's inside, is going to be thinking about all the time. And so if you're staring at the wrong choice, or if you're letting your eyes kind of say, this is where I'm going, that's what's going to be inside. Whatever you desire the most is what you think about the most. Whatever you think about the most, you can kind of follow that circular notion. That's what you desire the most. I mean, we know this is true. We know this is true. And you know, I mean, we can work it out, you know, real simple. I'll just use this as an illustration. You know, I love you. I really do. And what did I do with my notebook? Oh, yeah. Can you hand me that real quick? I've got a couple of little notes in there. Thanks. I love you guys a lot. But here's what I want to say. I don't worry about any of y'all's, I'll use that word y'all because I'm from Texas, I don't worry about any of y'all's jobs. Isn't that strange? I don't sit around at night going, I wonder how Scott's job's going. Scott, I just don't do it. I mean, I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, now if you called me and you said, hey, Blake, you know, I've lost my job or I'm having trouble at my job, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to, you know, be concerned about that. But I don't just sit around thinking, wow, I wonder, I'm really worried about everybody's job here. Why? Because that's not where my treasure is. My treasure isn't in your job. And therefore, my heart, where I worry about things, it doesn't go there. I don't worry about any of your kids' grades. Not a one of you. None of your grandkids' grades. I don't stay up late at night thinking about how your kids or grandkids are going to get into college. I don't. Now, if you called me and said, hey, Blake, my kid's having trouble in school, you know, I would pray for you. I would be concerned about that. If you said, hey, I really want my kid to get into this particular private school or this particular college, once again, I would pray about that, and then I would you know, join you in prayer. But I don't worry about your kids and what they're going to do in school. I don't worry about your retirement. I don't worry about if you're putting back enough money so that you can retire early. I hope that you're putting back enough money to retire early. I don't worry about it, though. I don't stay up late at night. I mean, I really hope that you retire early with $1 million and you just keep on tithing to the church. I want that to happen. But I don't lose any sleep over your retirement. Why? Because that's not my treasure, right? Now, I lose a lot of sleep over my job, my kids' grades, my retirement, right? I'll worry about it. Rebecca's going, no, you don't. Okay, I don't worry a lot, but yeah, but that those things are my treasure, right? And so where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Where those things that you put the most emphasis on are those things that you're going to worry about. It's where you're going to apply your wisdom to say, how do I get to that? And it's where you're going to stay up late at night going, maybe I didn't do it right. What if I don't have that money at retirement? What if my kids don't get in the school? You know, what if I lose my job? Well, what if, because I've applied my wisdom to it, and there's some uncertainty there. So Jesus says this, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. In verse number 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. So he said, let's talk about it for a second. Let's talk about this idea of treasure. He said, nobody can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. So this goes back to that thought he just had. He said, what are you devoted to, right? What's that thing that you most want? He said, here's what it is. If you've got two things going, he said, you know, your treasure, the one that you're really devoted to, is the one that's going to get your attention. You might have a lower one over here, and it might be part of it, but your attention's going here. And everybody's kind of probably looking at him going, okay, what are you talking about, Jesus? And so he throws out, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, why did he say money there? Now, actually, the word there, I want to make sure I get it, mammon is the Greek word. Mammon is actually the word that means more like stuff that you trust in, stuff that you trust in. So why does money fit in there real good? Because in our society today, as these translators are translating mammon, they kind of go, okay, what is it that our society, what kind of stuff do we have that we trust in the most? And it's money, right? Isn't that interesting? When God talks about worry, he goes to one place that I think we can all sit and go, yeah, I worry about money. I worry about how will the money last? I worry about, am I making enough money? I'm wondering if I'm providing for my family well enough. Yeah, I'm worried about money. And he said, hey, listen, if you're focused on money, then you're not focused on God. If you're focused on money, then your wisdom, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to have to apply that. And you're not going to, this is just going to be an extra thing. He said, you can't serve God and money. And so, you know, in this, Jesus is trying to start just laying this picture out of going, you've got to trust God instead of trusting you. You've got to trust God's goals instead of trusting your goals. Let's keep on reading. The next verse 25, says, therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask, what is it there for, right? Y'all heard that one before? A therefore is just a thing saying, this isn't a new thought I'm fixing to give you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take what I just said, And I'm going to connect that thought a little bit farther. So he says, therefore, because you're where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. Because you can't serve that treasure and serve God. Therefore, I tell you, now watch this. Do not worry about your life. Now, isn't that a bold statement? Isn't that bold? Jesus says, don't worry about your life. You know, therefore, because where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And because you can't serve that treasure and serve God, here's an idea, guys. Don't worry about your life. Now, if you're like me, that just is a little bit too open-ended, God, right? What about specifics? You know, surely you want me to worry about my marriage. Surely you want me to worry about my kids. Surely you want me to worry about my finances. But for some reason, God says this. Jesus just looks at him and says, don't worry about your life. Now, it's not that those things aren't important. It's not that God doesn't want us to think about those things. But where does worry come from? Worry comes from this idea that I'm in control and it's my wisdom that's going to get me there. And Jesus says, why don't you quit that? It's not your wisdom that's going to get you there. It's not. Let's see what he says after that. He said, don't worry about what you will eat or drink or about your body or what you wear. Now, these were the most important things to those people. The people that he was standing in front of that day. Yeah, where we kind of think about how am I going to retire or do we have a, you know, how can I take that trip this summer? Or am I going to be able to do something nice for my kids? You know, the people of that time, here's their main concern. Do we have food today? It was more of a hand to mouth, you know. Is the crops going to come in, you know, today? And he said, he looked out over these people and he could see the worry in their face. And he said, don't worry about anything. And he said, let me go to the specifics that you have. Don't worry about the food and the water you're going to have. Don't worry about the clothes. But my clothes are wearing out, and we don't have a Sears or with a Sears. That's an old one, right? I'm still in the 80s, man. We don't have a Walmart or an Amazon. And he said, don't worry about that. Today, you know, I asked you a while ago, what are you most concerned about right now? Jesus would stand up here, and he would say your particular thing when he says, don't worry about your life, what you will fill in the blank of what you're most worried about. That's what Jesus would say. That sounds bad. Let's keep on reading. It says, what you wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus said, look, he said, I know you're worrying about this, but the reason you're worrying about it is because you've set up your goals and you're trying to get to your goals, and for some reason you think that's what life is about. And he said, it's not about that. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's about bringing glory to God. And if we have this picture that life is about retirement, life is about our kids, life is about you know, whether or not, you know, we have the nicest house or the nicest clothes or the nicest car, if we put that up on the pedestal and say this is what life is about, God isn't going to say, okay, here's the wisdom of how to get to what you want. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to depend on your wisdom. And when you depend on your wisdom, the natural thing will be worry. So Jesus said, change your thinking. Don't focus on that. He said, come on. He said, life is more than that. I'm going to tell you, life is more than your health. Isn't that crazy? Because we kind of think, man, you know, if I contract some kind of disease, if I get cancer, if something happens to me, my life is over. No, that's just life here. As a Christian, our life is there. And God says this, his wisdom is the best for the situation, for all the people involved in the situation. And he's saying, trust me on this. Life is more. I love the next line. Jesus, in the middle of this thing where he just looked at the people and just really threw them for a loop of going, don't worry about eating. Don't worry about drinking. Don't worry about clothes. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, look at the birds of the air. At which time everybody went, what? I mean, if you walked up to me, and I hope you really did this earlier, with that thought of what's bothering you most in your life right now, what you're worried about. And as your pastor, I just looked at you and I said, John, thank you for sharing that with me. Let's go look at the birds. Yeah, you would just say, how foolish. And I'm sure they thought, Jesus, what? Why do you want me to look at the birds? And Jesus would say, would you just be quiet for a minute? He said, I'm trying to teach you something here. And so he says, let's look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store away in barns. Now, I think he says this not to say that we're not supposed to sow, we're not supposed to reap, we're not supposed to store away in barns, because we see other scripture where God talks about saving. God talks about working. He's saying, he said, listen, these are things you're supposed to do. These are things that you do that birds don't do. Now he said, you know, keep on doing those. He's not saying don't do that. He's just saying, let's look at a creature that doesn't do any of those things. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, that bird does nothing. He said, you've got all this ability to think. You have all this ability to create. And in fact, the next script, look what it says. It says, are you not much more valuable than they are? But he said, look at those birds. Why don't you just stop for a second when you're worried about something? And go outside and say, God, you just keep this all going. Those birds, they don't have a job. They don't have a 401k. They don't walk around going, I need to put a little helmet on my baby bird. You know, they don't worry about their kids. In fact, what do birds do? You know, birds go up to the highest point in the tree, make a house, have babies, and then when it's time, push them out of the nest. Oh. That's a parenting model, right? I think we all try that, kids. Y'all are up for it, maybe? No, I mean, they don't worry about whether their little birdies are going to fly. They don't worry about, you know, is there going to be food today? Because your Father in heaven has the wisdom to provide for them. And Jesus said, look, God cares about you way more than a bird. He's given you way more abilities. And he said, you were created in his image. And you're worrying about it. This next line, verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And we just ought to sit there for a little while, shouldn't we? Isn't that crazy? Do you realize that you cannot add a single hour to your life by your worrying? You can't. Here's why we worry. Life is uncertain. You might have this wonderful plan. I remember my papaw. He died quite a few years ago, but I remember just how mad he was. Because when he retired, I think it was mid-80s, the stock market crashed. And he had this incredible plan of all this money that he had in the bank and how many years him and my meemaw could travel and live. And then all of a sudden when he retired, it crashed and it got cut in half. He didn't have any control over that. He did everything his wisdom could provide to reach that point. But there's uncertainty. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. The only thing you know is you're alive right now, right? That's it. You are alive right now, and within 10 seconds of now, you could be dead. Within tomorrow, you could find out that you have a life-threatening illness. Tomorrow, you could find out that you have no job. Tomorrow, your cars could all break. I don't know. We have no certainty at all. Now, God says you should be planning for things like that. A wise person will do this. A wise person will do that. We should use that wisdom. But we shouldn't depend on that wisdom. Because who, by worrying, can add even an hour to your life? I wrote this down. I'm going to read it and make sure I get it right. I'm not going to worry. Not because I know what's going to happen tomorrow, because I don't. I'm not going to worry because I'm trusting in the only one who can do anything about tomorrow. You get it? Jesus said, listen, stop with putting all these goals out there and just saying that's what it is. Have the goals. Worry about, you know, not worry. Think about your finances. Think about your kids. Think about your 401. Think about all that stuff. But don't say, that's my treasure. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will go. Okay, so what should we do, Jesus? Let's keep on reading. It says this, and he says, why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, isn't that cool? He said, man, he said, if just in case you really like birds, let's talk about grass. what the birds eat, you know? Let's talk about grass for a second. He said, you know, God cares about the grass enough to clothe it in the most beautiful things, which is here today and is tomorrow thrown into the fire. He said, what you care so much about, God just creates daily. And then it goes away and he creates it again. And you're sitting here going, how am I going to clothe myself? Will he not much more clothe you? And then watch this little phrase he says here. You have little faith. You have little faith. He said, what are you trusting in? I said earlier, the natural result of trusting our own wisdom is worry. The natural result of trusting God's wisdom is faith. When I start applying and saying, hey God, I want those things, but that's not going to be where my treasure is. My treasure is going to be you. Then suddenly my faith starts growing. Suddenly, I start depending on God. And sometimes, you know what? My goals change. And what I thought was important isn't even important anymore. Jesus says this in verse number 31. So do not worry. Here he goes again. That's a weird phrase because how do you not worry? You know, it's kind of like, you know, if someone told you don't go to sleep, you know, you're just kind of, you go to sleep. I mean, worry is just there. But he said, don't worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you should wear. Like I said, put your own thing in there. This is important, verse 32. For the pagans, now that's not my word, that's God's word in the scriptures. Pagan is just the word of the time that meant someone that doesn't believe in God. Someone who's not a Christian. He said, for pagans run after all these things. Why are you a Christian? Why do you have a relationship with God? Here's what the Bible just said. It said, great, you've got all these goals and you're using your wisdom to achieve them. Guess who you're just like? You're just like the people that don't even know God. Obviously, the people that don't know God are going to use their wisdom to achieve what they think is the most wise thing for their life. And here you go. Y'all just get in with them and do it. He said, come on. He said, separate yourself for a minute. Why do you believe in God? If you're not going to apply it to your life, it's really useless. Pagans do that. Now watch this next thing. He said, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? God knows what we need. And we sit here struggling, thinking, this is what I need, God. This is what I need. This is what I need. My kids need that education. I need this job. I need this person in my life. I need. And God says, no. Here you go. Have some peace, because I already know what you need. And it's going to be the best possible result. It's going to be the best. But you got to stop looking at that and look at me. He said, your Father knows what you need. And here comes Jesus with what we've been saying. But seek first his kingdom. Don't seek first your goals. It's going to lead to worry. Seek first his kingdom. And who rules the kingdom, right? The wise king. He says, seek my kingdom. Seek my wisdom. He said, and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own troubles. He said, you've got now. Just give tomorrow to God. And in the now, what should I do? We'll talk about that in a second. But you've got to get to this point where you just say, I'm going to shift my desires away from my goals and towards God. And I'm going to seek that first. And then all these things will be added. But when I put it here and I seek that first, I have to use my wisdom. And what's added is worry. Most people wake up every day worrying if they have done enough, if their choices were good enough, if their wisdom is going to get them to their goals. What if you could wake up every morning and be absolutely confident that God was your heavenly Father and you could trust in him and his wisdom? What if that was your thought in the morning? You know what? I don't get this. Me and Jeff were talking earlier in the hallway about some stuff he's going through. And it was just like, it was like he was preaching my sermon to me. And he was just saying, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he said, so I decided not to worry about how it was going to turn out. Instead, trust God that he knew how it was going to turn out. He said, that's how I made it through it. I said, oh, I love that. Well, what if we could just get up in the morning and whatever that thing is you were thinking about just a few minutes ago, just say, God, you are my heavenly Father. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I trust you and your wisdom. Now give me the ability to know what I need to do. If you went back just a little bit farther in Matthew chapter 6, you'd see the Lord's Prayer. And some of y'all, maybe you repeated it over and over again. If you were raised Catholic, that might have been, something that you prayed a lot. For some of us, I don't know, I'm still in the 80s, John. I remember in the 80s. I don't know if they still do this. Y'all remember when they would sing the Lord's Prayer and they would hit that oh, God, I won't do it to you. But I never really thought about this part of the Lord's Prayer, so I put it in there. It says, our Father in heaven. Jesus said, if you're going to pray, think about your Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. He said, when you pray, he said, think about how incredible and in control and wise your Father in heaven is. Now watch this. Your kingdom come. Do you notice it doesn't say, my kingdom come? In a lot of ways, that's how we live our life. Oh, our Father in heaven, God, I just love you, and please help me with my kingdom. Right? And Jesus said, here, shift it. Shift it. Say, your kingdom come, God. I want you. I'm going to seek you first. And then he says, your will be done. He said, so put your wisdom into me so that we can get what you want to accomplish. And what you're going to find out is that God has the best in mind. And you thought this was going to be best. But how many rich people do you know that are miserable? How many wealthy people do you know whose kids just break their hearts? There's nothing wrong with wealth. But if that's the goal, guess what? It's going to let you down. If your goal is God, and then he provides the wealth, then you've got everything lined up because you're trusting in his wisdom, not in your wisdom. Now you might say, Blake, I know some very happy rich people. Let me be one of those, Hey, pray for that's okay. I mean, if God gives you that desire to say, this is what I think he's going to do. If he gave you that desire to be wealthy, he's going to give you a desire to be generous with that wealth. And you will be a happy, wealthy person. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, so that we can be forgiven of our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let me trust in you, God, and just let those things flow out of me. Now at the bottom, I've got this little phrase, fray. Isn't fray a funny word? Some word you just kind of say and you go, oh, that's kind of weird sounding. I always remember fray because there was a little joke. It was my favorite joke when I was growing up. So y'all get my favorite joke when I was growing up. There was a rope that walked into this little diner. Y'all heard that joke before, right? No, you haven't? Okay. There was this rope that walked into this diner, and he walks up to the front, and he said, I want a hamburger, and the rope reaches in his little rope pocket and pulls out a $5 bill to pay for the hamburger, and the guy behind the counter said, sir, he points to the sign, he says, we don't serve ropes here. The rope looked at him, but I've got money, and he said, no, sir, we don't serve ropes here. So the little rope walked out the door, went outside, picked up his feet, pulled them up, wrapped it around and tied himself into a knot. And then he frayed his edges. And he walked back in there and said, I want a hamburger. He said, aren't you that rope I just kicked out of here? He said, no, sir. I'm afraid not. Thank you, thank you. Man, I did this sermon just so I could use that one. Now, I like that word frayed because what does frayed mean? Frayed means unravel. Let's unravel. Hey, the next time you're worried, think about this. Say, I'm going to unravel what I'm worried about. I'm going to fray what's going on. And here's what fray can mean to you. Fray means this first. Focus on your Father. Instead of saying, I'm going to focus on the problem, because that's what we normally do. If you think about what you're worried about, it's what your treasure is, right? I mean, it doesn't sound like a treasure, but it's where your attention is going. And that's where your heart goes. So he said, hey, let's switch which way your heart's going. Let's focus on your Father. How long does that take? I don't know. Yeah, I would say just as long as it takes to where you just feel like, all right, God, I am trusting in you and I'm not worried about that, right? Focus on your Father. The R, research and review God's truths. Research, I like that word because it's search and then it says search again, right? Research. Get into God's word and say, God, how does your word apply to the problem that I have? Now, some things, right, this is going to be simple. There's lots of stuff in here about marriage. There's lots of stuff in here about raising kids. There's lots of stuff in here about finances. But there's some things that aren't in here, obviously. I mean, you know, there's technology and things like that. And sometimes you have to dig into what you're having the problem with and say, you know, what's the core? And then find scriptures that talk about that. Hey, make sure you focus on the Father first. Because here's what a lot of people do. They just run to the scriptures without focusing on the Father, and they twist it. And they find something that kind of would help them reach their goals, right? And they, you don't want to twist God's word. You want to be focused on God, and then go humbly to God's word, and maybe he's going to help you reach your goal with it. Or maybe he's going to change your mind. But look at it. So focus on your Father. Research and review God's truth. And then here's the A. Apply God's wisdom in your life. Now actually, this is what we do at church a lot, right? We get the wisdom, and then we just go about doing whatever we're usually doing. I'll use money as an example, seeing how that's what Jesus did. You know what the Bible says about money? It says you should tithe your money. You should save your money. You should be generous with your money. You should plan with your money. Yeah, there's all kinds of scriptures. What are you doing with your money? Have you gone to God's word and said, God, you said to tithe? You know, what comes up? Are you ready? Worry, right? I'm worried, God. And that's your light. That's your signal. When that worry goes off in you, who are you trusting? Trust in my wisdom. God says, look, trust me. Start tithing. Get out of debt. That's in the scriptures. Start saving. Be generous. Start tithing. Get out of debt. Start saving. Be generous. And he said, guess what? When you get that, you're not going to be rich and sad. You're going to be content. I've got the best in mind for you. It's not just going to help you. It's going to help your kids. It's going to help your family. It's going to be incredible. But if you read God's word and kind of go, all right, I'm going to do the savings part. I might do some of the get out of debt part. You know, generous. I don't have any money to do. Be generous. Okay, I'll just do that. No. Research it. And then if you have trouble with applying it, go back to step one. Focus on your Father. Make sure you realize that He has the best in mind for you. Now here's the last one. It might be the most important. The Y stands for yield to the outcome and relax. Yield to the outcome and relax. Because here's what's going to happen. You've got this goal in mind. And you say, okay, I'm going to use the magic genie. I'm going to focus on the Father. I'm going to research it. You know, I'm going to apply it. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen like you want it to happen. And you just get mad. And you say, but God, that's not getting me closer to what I wanted. And right there, you just have to yield. And say, God, it doesn't feel like this is accomplishing what I thought it would accomplish. Because I focused on you, because I know that your word is truth, because I know when I apply it, I'm going to be walking in your wisdom, then whatever the outcome, I'm going to just yield to that. And it's not that I'm going to give up. It's not that I'm not going to work at it, because like I said, scriptures, you start studying His word on working and on planning. It's all there. I'm just not going to let that be my treasure. I'm going to let you be my treasure. And whatever the outcome you give me, I'm just going to start this over again. Well, Blake, my problem is too big. My problem is just too huge. Here we go. How about just do the next right thing? Whatever your problem is right now, why don't you just break it up, fray it, and just say, what's my next choice? And I'm not going to think about the next 15 choices. I'm just going to go with the next right choice. God, what's the wise thing to do there? I'm going to apply it. I'm going to yield to the results. And then I'm going to look at the next part. And I'm going to say, okay, God, what's the next right choice then? You see, all of a sudden, we start moving our understanding of God's wisdom, because before, God's wisdom was this, maybe in our lives. How can God help me get to my goals? And now our view of God is, God, how can you use me to achieve your goals, which will be the best for me and my family and my future? It's a different way of looking at God and His wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for being here today. And God, as we just kind of start thinking through what it is you want us to do in our lives, God, just help us to move ourselves out of the way. God, help us to trust you. God, help us to focus on that you're a good God, that you love us. God, you're in control. And God, that's worthy of worship. That's worthy of allowing you to be the leader of my life. God, I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like the pagans. I want, when I walk out into the world, that they would look at me, look at us, go, there's something different there. I want that. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.